Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
Well, I want to talk about, it's time to get back, get out of the flesh and get back into the spirit. It's time. I think about this, that when you're born again in the spirit, your flesh is flesh. It has to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's never going to be anything other than the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Jesus says something like, deny it. Paul says, beat it. Peter crucified it. You know, it's like, you know, all these different things. And so, but your soul now is what you think, what you want, what you feel. That part of you is in the beginning stages still acts a lot like the world. So that has to be renewed. And that comes by the word of God. And we'll talk about that probably in a moment. But he says, this is what he says. He says, you know, you were running a good race. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you? In other words, you were doing something right and it was all going good, which means you can start off right. And what the thing about starting off right with pride is that we think we're always right because we started right. And the thing is that we're right because we're right. We're not right because we were right. We're right because we're right. And this is what Paul's writing to this church in Galatia, and he writes it plain as day. And in Galatians chapter 3, he says, you foolish, think about that, you foolish Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's talking about the whole city here. He's not even talking about, I mean, he bypassed every unbeliever in the entire Galatian area right there, Galatia, whatever you would call it, and just talked about the only people that counted were the alive folks because everybody else was dead in their sins. And so he's talking right here, and he's just saying, like, you foolish Americans. And what he's really talking to this church, right?
Mm-hmm.
You foolish Floridians and Georgians and, you know, whatever, Texans. He says, you foolish Galatians, with an exclamation mark.
Mm.
He says, who has bewitched you? Think about that. Who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. I mean, think about it. He's writing this letter like, I just want to learn one thing from you. I mean, you can see it, right?
Yeah.
This is a long text. He says, I want to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, and that's capital S, the Spirit of God. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Again, he's saying foolish. Are you so foolish, America? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts?
Mm.
Think about that. Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it is really for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles amongst you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? Listen, you are running a good race. We're talking about bewitched, somebody cutting in on you, somebody confused you, somebody lied to you, somebody went Alinsky on you. I'm talking about somebody convinced you that what began in the spirit, now you're trying to fulfill it in the flesh, and you are just tired. You've been toting religion now for I don't know how long. You've been trying to walk out your marriage in the midst of the ball game taking place in the studio here. And, you know, you think about it, that it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard. It's time to just go into the river and flow with what God is doing. Understand, this is something that God is doing. It's like, you know, all of a sudden God begins to work miracles in your life, and then all of a sudden the miracles stop happening because now you're trying to reproduce what you saw God do, and now you're trying to do it in the flesh. And it's like, you won't ever see it again until you get back to the place of humility and the original intent of what God was doing through you, not what you're doing through God. And what happens is, when we get, he says, you foolish Americans, you foolish Galatians, you foolish whoever's that are doing this, he says, you know, what he's saying basically is, it began with me doing something through you, and now all of a sudden, now you're trying to do something through me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And he calls it foolish. And understand that the flesh counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. I mean, Jesus said, you know, if you're, this is what he says about the flesh. This is, you're going to be blown away. This is, I know you haven't probably heard this because 97% of the church doesn't read it in the context of it being real.
Mm-hmm.
81% don't even touch the Bible to read it. But 3%, you get this. 3% get it. Y'all can overhear our conversation. This is what God says, according to George Barna. Those stats are that this is what Jesus said. Now you have to understand. This is what he thinks about your flesh. He said, "I just want to let you know that that if you're having issues with your eye, you know, if your eye keeps looking at something it shouldn't look at, I just want you to gouge it out. Okay, just take something, a spoon or a knife or a fork or, you know." Just this is what I ain't.
Today, listen, today we don't know what that word gouge, what does gouge mean? What is that? Is that
pluck?
Like, pluck.
Pop. Anyway, so
yank it out.
Somebody says, this is the same Jesus that I was just singing love songs to. And he said, gouge it out. This is what he said. He said, it's better for you to go to heaven with your flesh disappointed.
Maimed.
With one eye. With one eye, than to bust hell wide open with two eyes. Mm-hmm. And that you're looking at, it's like, you got to deal with the flesh. How serious is he in regard, and it can happen at the cross of Christ, and it's going to be available to you soon on the store, the cross of Christ and the dependency factor. You're going to need to get it because the expectations hasn't changed, but the methodology, you have to know about it because you're not going to do it in the flesh. It's done by the power of the cross of Christ and what he's done. And in the context of that, he says, well, phew, that was tough, Jesus. I'm going to lose an eye. What does he mean? He says, listen, he says, then sin can actually come your way by your eye. It's things you see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and talking about the visual sins today, my goodness, it's just untold. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to constantly turn your head. My neck still works. You know what I'm saying? And you just turn your, it's amazing when your eyes don't see it, it doesn't affect you as much.
Imagine that.
And then he says, that's enough. Would he say anything else? And then he says, and he's talking about the, I'm talking about the flesh here. And so what does Jesus say about the flesh? And you hear Paul talking about, you foolish Galatians, don't you understand? You're supposed to pluck it. And then you pluck your eye out. You know, they can't fulfill this thing. You're not going to see this way thing happening. And secondly, he says, listen, if your hand causes you to sin, so you have eye sins and you have hand sins, things you touch that you shouldn't touch.
Mm-hmm.
What you doing putting your hands on that idol and that stuff? What you doing? And this is what Jesus says. He says, cut your hand off. And people watch and they look at what's happening over in the Middle East. They go, I cannot believe these barbarians, that they actually took a thief and they cut his hand off.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're not promoting that at all. But I'm saying it's not far-fetched how somebody who's trying to fulfill it in the flesh can actually think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has given us perspective of the flesh. He's given us perspective of what he thinks about it. And thirdly, he says, if that's not enough, a gouged out, plucked out eye, and your eye's gone, your one eye, one hand, flying purple people eater, were those in the 50s? Anyway, so then all of a sudden he says, and if your foot causes you to sin. I mean, your eye can cause you to sin. Your hand can cause you to sin. Think about it. You're blaming everybody else for your sin, and God's going, no, your eye, your hand. Then he goes, and if your foot causes you to sin, places that you go. If your foot causes you to sin, cut off your foot. It's better for you to go footless into heaven to be with him forever than go with both your feet and bust hell wide open, which just really rocks the paradigm of the gospel is being preached of saying that Jesus winks at sin. And somebody says, do I gouge my eye out? No, you just gouge that thing out of your life. What is that thing that keeps on causing you to sin with your eyes? What is that thing that keeps causing your hand to sin? Get that out of your, look at that out of your life. Where do you keep going that you keep sinning? Quit going there. I don't even care if it's a family member's out. Quit going there. And so somebody says, well, you know, he's my husband. What do I do? You know, humble yourself and trust God, and you'll work your way through that. And so this is so important, because you're not going to fulfill this thing. Where we are right now, if we don't understand this, we're going to get up and physically try to fulfill the will of God in America, and we're not going to be able to do it. And we should have cut that out of our life. We should have cut all the flesh out. And this is what he says. He says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. He says, you are running a good race. You are running a good race, which means everything was going right. Everything was going right. Mm. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you and kept you from what? Obeying the truth. So all of a sudden, you don't obey the Lord anymore. Don't read the word anymore. Don't abide with God anymore. Mm. Don't show up at fellowship anymore. Don't have the word of God preached over you anymore. Don't listen to VFN radio or watch VFN TV anymore. You just all you're in darkness. Who cut in on you, said you didn't need fellowship no more? I'm telling you, it's a witch.
Hmm.
He said, who you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? This kind of persuasion, he says, does not come from the one who calls you. God's not going to persuade you not to obey him. He's going to tell you to obey him and cut whatever off. He says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. He's talking about it just takes a little bit of this, and all of a sudden it's in your whole life. He says, I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. And it's time for us to be steadfast and say, you know what? I don't care. God's view is my view. That's just it. Mm-hmm. You know, in view of his mercy, because of his grace, my knowledge of knowing I need his forgiveness in my life and his mercy in my life, I still say his way is the only view, is the only way. And he goes on and says, the one who is throwing you into confusion. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That's what happens. Like, I don't know. I know it was sin last week, but this week they're preaching something totally different. And now I'm kind of confused. Like, is it sin or is it not sin anymore? Do I really have to obey God anymore? Can I go out and conjure this thing up? And he says this. He says, the one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty. There's going to be a penalty for these folks that keep trying to throw this, or use by Lucifer, you know, Linsky tactics, if you would, to be able to confuse you, to get you off the course of following God. And a lot of children, a lot of parents, a lot of people that live close together, are being used continually. Jesus said, you'll have enemies even in your own household that are constantly, you watch somebody walking with God, walking close to God, walking in obedience to God, and they go spend time with their family, and they come back out, and they're a whole different person again. It's like, what happened to you? Who bewitched you?
Mm-hmm.
Who bewitched? Listen, you answer alone for your life, so you have to understand. You're going to give an account for this. They're going to give an account for what they did, but you're going to have to give account if you choose no longer to walk in obedience to God. And he says, whoever it may be, they're going to pay a penalty for this. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why I'm still being persecuted, he says, listen, I'm not preaching the law anymore. In this case, the offense of the cross would be abolished. In other words, he ain't preaching the law no more. He ain't preaching this is how it's going to happen. He says, as for those agitators, I will wish that they would have gone the whole way and emasculate themselves.
Mm.
This is so important, because the tensions between the reality and the kindness and sternness of God does not create you with some intimate knowledge that you can actually live your life like a scientist and you know exactly everything. It presses you to the ground and causes you to humble yourself and say, God, you're God. It leads you to a place of saying, here I am, lead me. It leads you to a place of Jesus being the Lord of your life. And since you don't have to worry, since he's the one in charge, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, because mm-hmm. you're going to talk to him in the morning, or talk to him when you abide, preferably before you start your day, so you don't have to apologize for your day.
Right.
And just wait and see what he tells you to do that day, and what he's directing. You know what I'm saying? It's so cool. When you give up the lordship of your life and you give it to Jesus Christ and get back to believing him again and quitting trying to fulfill this thing in the flesh and realize you've been bewitched, and I don't care who the witch is or the warlock, that they bewitched you, they confused you. It's very simple. Jesus says if it causes you to sin, cut it out. Jesus said, listen, it's because you believe that I am the Lord of your life. It's not some magic abracadabra. You're submitting to me as the Lord of your life, and I am working through you in your life. And because you believe in me, you see the fullness of who I am. It wasn't something you did. It's something that I did through you because you believed. It wasn't some thought thing like, you know, miracles come to me because I speak positive, you know, positive mental attitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And now that you do that, he moves. He says, I will work with you, confirming my word. What word? The word that you believe and that you profess. The one that you obey. And it's so important because you know when you're being bewitched because you're bewildered. I mean, you are just, you know, you're just dumbfounded. You're worn out. You're stressed out. And worst case scenario, if you kick into the religious mode, now you're religiously worn out. And so now you're like, let us pray. I was like, oh my gosh, shh, be quiet for a moment, you know. Right. And the thing is, you got to get back into it. And what happens when you abide with the Lord, and if you don't abide with him and you don't even know how to do that, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You can request your simple plan today at iabide.org. You fill out that simple little thing, you submit it, and instantly a simple plan. Explain a video and everything showing you all you need is a crayon and a Bible. I mean, it's not much at all.
Mm-mm.
And God will show up in your life. Mm-hmm. Children are abiding with God. You know, it kind of reminds me of Jamian, you know, over in Texas. Oh, yeah. When Jamian's going, listen, it's kind of like if we obey God, if we listen to his leader, you know, we obey the Spirit of God, kind of like he knows what's going on and stuff. I mean, from a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
But think about it from a child. And I just want to encourage you today that you're not going to be able just to change your mind in this thing to work out, because that's another fleshly act. You're going to have to change your heart. You're going to have to go back to your first love. You're going to have to go back and say, dear God, here I am again. I'm sorry for going astray. I bewitched myself. I'm bewildered, or someone else, whatever. Somebody led me astray. Here I am back with you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Lead me and the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, not for my name's sake. It's all about you, Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Do you have a secret so shameful that you've never spoken of it? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Julie Barnhill offering a suggestion to help find healing.
The first thing you have to do is you have to own it. And I tell women this all the time. I believe there's something powerful about speaking what is your secret, speaking that is so shameful. And I will encourage women, especially when we have workshops, and I'll say, I want you at some point today, whether it's you go to a wall and you cup your mouth and you just whisper it just so you can hear it, that you say that awful, ugly thing.
Speaking a shameful secret out loud, even to yourself, may help reduce its power over you and can bring some much needed relief. Now, if you need help with a painful issue, consider our counseling hotline at 1-800, the letter A, and the word family.
If I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Steve, I know that you had some things on your heart that...
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's... You know, God's been speaking to me about, you know, I was sharing previously about, you know, offense and, you know, being, getting just a pride out of my life. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading the word this morning, just spending time abiding with God. And it was just like scripture after scripture was just coming at me. And God just stopped me in 1 John 4. And 1 John 4, verse 16, on the second part of the verse, he says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And just right there, it was just like, do you live in love? Like your life is love. Love is your life. Love is your breath. Everything about your life is love. Mm. And at that, I was just like, Lord, I got a long way to go. Lord, help me with that. So he says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. He says, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. He says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And at that, God just, I was just like, man. And that really just totally grabbed me because as I was just chewing on that, it's just like, God, I want to be made perfect in your love. Mm. And God just really began just revealing to me as the fact that, like, you know, you think about those moments when he says in Corinthians, when he talks about, you know, in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect in us. Mm-hmm. It's through that, those seasons of humility, mm-hmm. through the hardships, through the testings, through the suffering, we're made perfect. And he just continued to speak to me. It's just like, there is that connection in love, in humility. And mm-hmm. it's just like, we want love, but it's just like, there's that process of God, make me perfect in your love. And it's through that life in love that we're made perfect. And then God just reminded me about the process of that on the Last Supper. When Jesus was with his disciples, it talks about the fact in John 13, it talks about that Jesus knew where that he was from God, that he came from God, and that he was going back to the Father. Mm-hmm. So he embraced humility. And Jesus was able to embrace humility before his disciples. He was able to embrace the cross before all of mankind. But that was the most pinnacle display of love for his Father, so that we would know love with his Father. And it talks about the fact that because of the joy set on the other side of the cross, Jesus was able to embrace the cross. For the joy set before him. And it's just like, that's that disconnect that we miss. And God says, I want you to live a life of love, because it's through my love, that's what makes you perfect. And I just thought about a life of God. Can you imagine a perfect life in God, of how God says you have been made perfect in my love? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just continued to look in that. And it's just like, when you make a choice to give love, receive love, just be in his love, and everything that you do, you live a life of love, regardless of how it's given to you, regardless of how you're treated or anything, but you just choose to love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, That's that working. And you think about how God talks about that when he removes the imperfections of gold, it's through that pressure, it's through that hardship that the imperfections rise. And it's like, that's the testing of us. And it's just like, will we submit ourselves? Because how we talked about in fear, it's just like the fact that God was revealing to me that a lot of times when he'll reveal pride in my life, I'll get focused on, you know, who, the people that God has set up as accountability people in my life. It's like, well, God, you know, what are they going to say? You know, and we just sort of start getting self-focused.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, if we would just abandon ourselves in his love and know the fact that it's not about fear. It's not about repercussions or punishment, because it's his love. It's the end. It's the end that makes it all worthwhile.
Well, perfect love casts out all fear, First John yeah. says. And once we're secure in his love, that's the whole thing. People need to understand that. It's a revelation to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so powerful. I mean, that's why I love the Gospel of John. It's full of love. First John is full of love.
Yeah.
It's about the love of God. If we are loving, then we're Godding, right? Because love, you know, God is love.
Yeah.
But it's that revelation that we're loved by God. Loved by God helps us to stand secure no matter what. Listen, other people may be wishy-washy with you, you know, and some people may treat you different ways, but when you feel secure and know that no matter what, at your darkest moments, God's love never changes. Mm-hmm. His love never turns.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. It's amazing. I read a book one time. Jim Baker wrote a book called I Was Wrong, and he was in prison. And he says that when he was there, he felt so alone. He felt so away from just the world and just everything. He was in just such great pain. And he says, but even there, even at my lowest moments, even at the darkest moments that I could ever imagine in my life, I knew God was with me, and I knew that he loved me.
Yeah.
People didn't love me. People hated me at this time. But I knew. Yeah. I knew that the Bible was true. When the scripture says that there's a friend that sits closer than a brother. And so when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about this more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about the love of God, living in love and living in God. If you live in love, you're living in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about what you were saying, Steve, was just so powerful, because that word is oftentimes so, I mean, misconstrued, misused, abused. It's like, if that's love, I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. And the problem is when we try to love outside of the standard that God's already given us.
Yeah.
You know, why are we, you know, let's go back to the standard. It's so easy for people to say words, I love you. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean? And love is an action.
Mm-hmm. It's a choice.
It's a choice. It's your volition. It's your will. You have the will to love. It just doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen with flowery words. But 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Mm-hmm.
Love never fails. Think about that. All these things are action. When you're not being patient, that means you're not loving.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are being patient, guess what you're doing? You're loving on someone.
That's right.
You're loving on someone. Love is kind. If you're not being kind, that means you're not loving them. But you can encourage yourself that when you are intentionally doing kind acts, you're loving.
Mm-hmm.
You're loving, right? Mm-hmm. It does not envy. It does not boast. If you're prideful, you're not loving. This is about you. Love is always about others. Love is about you go first. And God's called us to be a people of love. If we're going to live in love, we're going to live in God. If we're going to live in God, then we got to live in love.
That's right.
And part of being the people of God, if we know the Lord, one of the characteristics that we should have in our life is to be people of love.
Mm-hmm.
How could we love a God the Bible says that we can't see if we can't love a brother that we can see?
Yeah.
Mm. It's your calling card.
That's right.
It's your calling card. And you can do a lot of things, and you can learn about a lot of things. I'm always interested about those that are, it's like, and Ezekiel and Revelation, and I love Revelation, and I love Ezekiel, but let's just focus here on 1 Corinthians 13 for a little while. Let's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the ones that I do understand, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe it would do us well to stop trying to, you know, learn about God and get, you know, mm-hmm. all of this information. But maybe we need to focus on getting a revelation,
yeah.
you know, because God is not ever interested in us getting information. He's interested in us getting revelation so that what God has revealed to revealed to us can turn into a manifestation. It can manifest into our life. Mm-hmm. We know that we know something, not just in our mind, right? We have knowledge, consciousness of what we're learning, but we really know something is when we have it experientially.
Yeah.
When there's fruit in our life, right. then that revelation yeah. has manifested.
That's right. And that's what it says in the Word. It says, they will know them, they will know you by the love you have for one another.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to know what love is unless we actually
show it to
them. Show it in our yeah. own lives and towards others?
Yeah.
Yeah, love is
not... they'll be drawn to jealousy and they'll want to, what do you got? There's something about you
yeah.
that I don't know what that is. Help me out here.
Or something about you guys or you gals or whatever the situation is. You notice that when the love of God is around the family of God, people just look at it and say, now you guys don't know each other. You're just friends. Mm-hmm. What is that? You know, how are you guys so close and all that type of stuff? And it's like, it's just God. Mm-hmm. It's just God. It's the love of God. The love of God in him is connecting with the love in God in me. And, mm-hmm. and it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Man, it's this technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called? The Google Play Store mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they right. can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. and they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We need to be people of love.
Yeah.
We need to be people of love because that's the calling card. That's the trademark. And there's nothing more powerful. You can spend all your time trying to learn all these other things. And, you know, there's you can spend your lifetime and probably 100 lifetimes of studying the word. Right. But God doesn't call us to fall in love with the book of the Lord, but the Lord of the book.
You know
what I'm saying? And so many times people are focused on the book of the Lord. It's like, let's focus on the Lord of the book and what he told us. He says, love one another as I have loved you, right?
That's right.
Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me. And if we can get this, Steve, if we can really get this, how beautiful is that going to be? How beautiful is that going to be? It'll draw so many people to God because you're not... When you're loving them, you're guiding them. You're guiding them. But we have to remember that. We have to remember that in the midst of everything that God is saying and in the midst of everything he's teaching us and revealing to us in his word, that we can do a lot of things. The Bible tells us you can sing with the voice of angels. You can play instruments. You can do all these things. But if you do not have love, it's a clanging cymbal. It's all for naught. I mean, it's all for naught. So it's like, why even do it if love is not at the centerpiece? Why are we even touching it? Why are we, you know? Because everything about God is love. If we escape the love factor, then we've gotten totally, completely away from God.
Yeah.
It's not interesting what we can do.
It's like doing it without him because you're not doing it for him.
Yeah. What are we doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, I got it done. It's accomplished. Yeah, I see it's done, but now I want you to take two steps to the right. Do you see the trail of turn around? Okay. Do you see the trail of devastation that occurred behind you?
It's like, right.
You got it done. You reached the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Check. You can take it off your planner. But what did it cost you? Who got hurt in the process of that? We can't focus on getting jobs done. We've got to focus on moving in love. And oftentimes, to love, we've got to slow down to the pace of love. We got to slow down. We got to slow down. May mean that you may not check off a whole lot more things on your to-do list, but it means that what you do check off, you could say, I've done this with love. I've done this with love. It's accomplished. No one got hurt in this, and God was glorified.
You know, and that's like when I chew on that, like that's where God just really brought it to me was the fact that that's when we have to trust God's love because it's not the love that we expect. It's not, we have to just abandon ourselves in the refining process of his love because that's where it goes. And it's just humbling ourselves. That's when we're brought into his presence. And it's when we humble ourselves that he's able to come to us and be more like him.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. It starts with humility. It starts with love.
Right. Not just give love, but be lovable.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
be lovable. Says, I don't have any friends. So are you lovable? And that's the trademark. That's the calling card for us. And I just love that when living in love, we're living in God.
You know, I think about, did I talk about this? I talked about this.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Well, you know, it was, I feel really bad about it because I could have preached a great message of repentance And instead, I just said, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. You know, you don't have to worry about it. I was walking through a lightning storm.
Ooh.
Hitting each other on his water.
He's getting it down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was wrestling, though, with the
whole
thing.
Two more words to do.
I was wrestling with the concept of walking through it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was wrestling with that. And I was thinking, the statistics of possibly being struck by lightning.
Wow.
And besides,
wow, twice in one day. Wow.
And besides, I knew it wasn't a tournament. So, and I was listening to a miracle of God, you know, talking with somebody that was sharing a miracle of God. And it was dry and just beautiful weather at the beginning of the phone call. And by the end of the phone call, and I'm in my F-150 limousine. That's the same limousine. No, you have a... Never mind. So
yours is longer than mine.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Much longer.
You just got leather seats.
Right. Well.
Anyway, we won't talk about your limo. Anyway, so I don't have a driver. Anyway... And lightning is just popping and just crackling. And I did say, I got to say, I was weakened in my faith because I had those earbuds on for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I did think, you know, if I am going to be hit.
At least you're grounded.
You know, I didn't want, there's no ground. They're in my ears. Yeah.
You're grounded to your phone.
Yeah, I was grounded to my phone. I thought, I just don't want like burnt spots in my ears and lines going down my face. So I put it on speakerphone and I said, God forgive me for being weak in my moment of faith.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't mind dying. I just didn't want to die with just...
Wet marks. Okay.
Yeah, like Frankenstein things come out your ears. Anyway, so then, so I'm walking with this little umbrella. I don't know. It's about 3 inches wide or something. And a little bit bigger than that. I just happen to be thick boned. And it's a little bit more difficult to cover me in a rainstorm. And all these grown folks were just... huddled up under the cover, the shelter there. And because they were like, oh, because it was bad. It was like, but if you've been in ministry long enough, you can walk slow in a thunderstorm. It doesn't bother you. And so I was walking along, seeing if God wanted to take me home. And and I come into the front door, door, for those in Jersey, a door. I went to the door. And opened up, there was even more folks huddled down there. But as soon as I opened the door, the lightning just like hit so hard. It was like it hit the ground outside this restaurant. And it was like, bam. And I just seized the moment. It was like, I'm like, bam. I walked in there, threw my hands up and said, I'm here. And these grown men were just huddled down with their hands over their faces looking like, I don't know, somebody appeared. And I thought, dear God. And then I laughed and walked on through them.
So what did you say when you walked in?
I said, I'm here. And they're going like this. Now they're all going like, they're going like this because it was just the big light was behind me.
Yeah.
Their whole life just shook and they're huddled out in fear that something was going to happen. And, but I had peace in the midst of all that. But I have to apologize. I did not preach the gospel. Instead, I used humor and said I was here and they were terrified. Wow. And I laughed and walked through the whole crowd. I thought, man, how much more effective would that have been if I just would have said, repent!
You know what? You can pray for another rainstorm, and
yeah,
hopefully you can redeem that opportunity.
You don't have to lately. They're like every five minutes, they're coming down.
Yeah, that's right.
My poor dog's learning how to swim. He never got in the pool before, but now he is just in the pool. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
There are so many things happening in the nation. There was a time, if you remember, it just seemed like, is anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. Is the church awake? Of course, what we saw in regards to American citizens, but they were praying. They were actually got on their knees and they began to pray. But I'm also noticing down, not only in Nevada, not only in Texas and other nations, but I've been seeing even in the Gulf Coast where I've been watching There's been 100 days of prayer going on, 100 days of prayer, praying for revival across denominational, non-denominational lines. And in that, they are just crying out for revival. They're cutting across denominational lines, and it's exciting to see that it appears to be being led by Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church. And what's so cool is that even this week, as it's coming closer to Resurrection Day, and we're going to just, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Pastor John Kilpatrick in a moment about this, about the Resurrection Day, is about the Passover, is that each day a different minister from the city, from, you know, one denomination to another denomination to another denomination. And this is how revival happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful to see that. And for those that are listening in the Gulf Coast, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Pastor, I believe, Rogers from an Assemblies of God in Pace, Florida, to Pastor Bernard Yates, you know, a father in his church, a family and a leader. It's just, can't even name them all right now, but it's just all the different pastors that are coming together. And if you, want to be a part of that, you know, make sure you get a chance. You can go to, I believe it's Olive Baptist. You can find out more at olivebaptist.org, but it's not just a Baptist. It's everybody coming together in 100 days of prayer, asking God to send revival.
Wow.
And it is so exciting to see that. And it's such an answer to so many who've prayed. It says, dear Lord, you know, help us. And according to the wall of Jeremiah Johnson saw when he was walking through this area, it looks, that's a wall that's down when you start seeing, you know, the you know, ministers come together into fellowship like that, and across denominational lines, all for Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All for Jesus. So I'm hoping to be able to get out there myself this week. I definitely want to be there for Pastor Bernard Yates to hear what's being said. Speaking of trophies for humility, you know, I was so had a wonderful time to be able to have lunch with Pat's son Jonathan, and he played you know, football really well. I mean, he had to. He's you know, his dad.
His dad. I mean, dear Lord. No choice, Lord.
Help him always do well in sports.
It's in the genes, man.
It's
in the genes.
Right. Is that what you call that?
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
And Jonathan to talk with.
Yes.
Him.
Even his dog has a Saint shirt. So
yes, he does.
He does. Of course, the dog's like, I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Anyway, so.
Oh, whatever.
And so, you know, Jonathan and I are having lunch, and he was telling me about his trophies. He got two medals.
His medals.
He got medals. He's a really good player in football, flag football, and he got these medals. And I said, "Whoa, what are the medals for?" And he says, "They're for humility." And I'm thinking, I'm like, tilt. I'm like, okay, so do you get it, but you can't show the medal? I mean, how do you get a medal? How do you get a medal for humility, right?
And, right.
And Jerry and goes, my son goes, Jerry goes, does it come with a blanket? And he's going, and Jonathan's going, I'm shooting for four. a word of knowledge out there for those that are handing out medals for humility. That might be counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive.
Is that something? Oh my goodness. Today we want to be for humility. Mrs. Jones in our church congregation. She's the most humble woman around. Thank you very much. I worked very hard for this.
And I'm going to work even harder for the next recognition.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. So, but just having that peace that you can walk through thunderstorms. It's amazing to me, people that believe in eternity are scared to go there.
Mm.
People who preach and talk to other people about salvation and eternal life are terrified at the probability that they almost went there. I'm like,
it's like, hello.
I was watching this particular awesome testimony of a lady that was being healed. And actually, she was healed by doctors who, you know, brought surgery. She went through all this chemo and everything. And she was just so relieved that she made it.
Mm.
But I got the question is, you made it for what? I mean, what are you going to do with this life? I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm all. Believe me, I'm all for being healed because we believe lay hands on the sick and they're healed, and we tell people to go to the doctors and we see them healed and we celebrate it. But we're going to stand alone before God. Hmm. You know, what are we going to do? Why? Why? You know, and the thing is, we could pour our life out for Him, you know, and bring Him glory, and hopefully get a chance today to talk about, you know, the revealing the glory of God, revealing the glory of God. And that's what He's looking for, is for us to be able to bring Him glory. So all these things going on, practice walking in the midst of danger, knowing that you are confident that God has protected you. Hence, you have a shield around you called the shield of faith, which angels back up because they're cooperating with your belief that you believe God will protect you. And people watch that and go, wow, totally amazing. But you're also comfortable with the fact that if the lightning struck me or didn't make it through this, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven with God, to be absent for the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
That's Ain't right. No grave going to hold me down, as the song said. And so don't run from death. Run to the chopping block if your time comes, like Paul did. But until then, understand you should be kind of caught in between the two. As long as I'm here, that's what Paul said, as long as I'm here, I'd rather be there. But as long as I'm here, as long as I'm here for you, God. Mm-hmm. Every moment, every dime, every day, every minute, I lay it out for you. Why? Because I believe in eternity. Mm-hmm. I believe in eternity. Mm. Don't you believe in eternity? That's what we preach. That's the good news. The good news. He said, if Jesus has not been risen for the dead, Paul says, we've been lying about God.
That's right.
We've been lying about God. And that's a huge thing. And he said, also, if he's not risen from the dead, that means if there is no resurrection from the dead, that means Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Mm-hmm. Which means for us, if that's true, we should be pitied more than anybody else. I don't care how good your life is, if you profess that you have this relationship with God, but you don't believe in the resurrection, and as if the resurrection never happened, you're only living for this life. But as Christians, we're living for eternity. This is premarital counseling, not marital, like fleshly marital, not that. I'm talking about being presented as the bride of Christ. You know, God is a spirit, and the understanding that, you know, listen, it's just so short. This time is so short to do something for Him. Yeah. But we should walk around in that tension continually. And if you walk around in the tension continually about, I want to be there, but as long as I'm here, I'm here for you. But when I'm there, I'll be with you forever. Mm-hmm. Then you don't have no problem telling people about God. You don't have no problem because your mind's constantly on Him. You're not running in fear and biting your last little piece of your fingernail left because of a storm. You're just going, this could be my moment. Mm-hmm. This could be my moment. Mm-hmm. This could be my moment. And when it wasn't your moment, you go, okay, I got some more time to do. You know, it just doesn't really, you're not giving up on life. You're giving into eternity. Mm-hmm. People say, well, you're just giving up. No, you're not giving up on life. You're giving into eternity. Understand that's what we got through Jesus Christ, to live with Him forever, to rule and reign with Him forever. Heaven is so big. Heaven is so big that it will, if you put it on earth, it would just crush earth. Mm. Heaven is so big, it would just crush earth. And it's so awesome that streets of gold and the light is God Himself. Mm. You think about it. It's God Himself. I mean, right. Think about it. And He has these awesome trees in heaven, this river, the river of life that flows from the throne of God, that these trees, just the trees themselves, they have a leaf on them, and the leaf is for the healing of the nations. I mean, you could just eat a leaf and a nation could be healed. Mm. I mean, think about that. I mean, this God that we serve and that we love is in the center of all creation, and his throne is surrounded by an emerald rainbow. Lightning and thunder is just exploding continually out of His throne, and angels are proclaiming continually, worthy, worthy, worthy are you to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And this is not like a concept. It's true. He's holding it all together. Everything was made by him and for him, and nothing was made that was not made by him. He is holding all things together. All the glory is his. The question is, will you make Jesus the Lord of your life and get into eternity and understand what I'm talking about? And this God who has all of that praise and all of that glory and all of that ability created you in his image and his likeness so that he could have fellowship with you. The devil's been pounding you, saying, God don't love you. God don't like you. God's mad at you. Look what you've done now, etc. And God's going like, hey, look who I am. I am so, think what I did. I created heaven and earth and the sea and the sky and the birds and the animals and the shrubs. And I created you in my likeness, in my image, so that I could have fellowship with you. And then when there was a fall in the garden and I lost that intimate relationship with you because of sin, I gave my own son to be in relationship with you. That's Jesus. Listen, this is a win-win for those who make Jesus the Lord of their life. Mm-hmm. It's time for the church, those who call themselves believers, to get caught up in eternity. Get caught up in the tension, the excitement of I'm going to go be with him, and also the excitement that I could do for him while I'm here. Think about it. Just that tension between, oh my goodness, I could do one more thing for him before this time, this season of my existence is over before I enter into eternal life. So I can have a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, not for me to wear, so that when the cherubim, when the four living creatures begin to proclaim the glory of God and the elders get off their thrones and take their crowns and lay them at their feet, that you'll have a crown too that you can lay at his feet that brings him the glory. You're bringing glory to him. Mm-hmm. Glory to God in the highest. I mean, it is his glory, but the question is, will you give it to him? Will you give this life that he's given you in a way to bring glory to him so when he brings you into eternity, you have something to offer him? God offered you a son. Then he offered you a span of life. And now he's sitting here. He picked the time, the season, the place, the address, and everything about you, where you would live. Just seeing. As he says in Acts 17, if you would reach out to him and touch him, though he's not far from you. Listen, God's got a plan for your life. This is really an exciting, awesome thing. The creator of the universe loves you and has a plan for your life. It's time to get in.
Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than Old Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality, call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. AutoDocs of Pensacola is where all sick cars go to get well. Take advantage of their new $29 oil change special, which includes a free extensive maintenance checkup. Get your car to a clean bill of health. Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles on the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign. Visit Sue today. In Pensacola, Fantasy Pools and Spa, your premier destination for pool installations, liner changes, service, and all of your pool and spa chemical needs on the corner of Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road. Give them a call today. Special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.